Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Kizzy Parks. She is the owner of KPC. She helps individuals on how to find bids and win profitable government contracts. She owns and operates multiple businesses, and I read a lot about her. She's got a lot of cool stuff, and is a Guinness World Record holder. I got to find out about that. And I wanted to thank you for showing up to my show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me here. I appreciate you.
And she's in the warm place of Hawaii. I'm just imagining in my mind warmth. Since I'm in Illinois, it's not warm. So I'll just keep that in my head because that's a good thing. So one of the things I noticed that you said you started at a young age owning businesses. But before I go into that Guinness World Record, what do you have? What'd you do?
Oh, the Guinness World Record.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's for number of skips of a rope in flip-flops in 60 seconds. And it's for 182 jumps. So more than three a second.
In flip-flops?
Yep, and flip-flops, like the really flat ones that you like get at Walmart or Walgreens.
Right, the ones that aren't comfortable.
The ones that like break as soon as you walk right toward the beat. Right. You always walk away with one.
Like exactly. Hey, wait, say this again. How many jumps?
182.
Wow, when did you do this?
That was about almost 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Okay, now I got to ask. Open up the floodgate of question with this. What made you do that? What was going through your mind? Is it something that you love to do? You love to skip rope?
Well, I was largely inspired by David Goggins, who has an amazing, he has two books out now.
Okay.
And in his first book, he talks about his life, you know, it's a biography. And he's done all these amazing things. Like he's a Navy SEAL. He overcame a lot just in his life. He went and did other military things. And then to top it all off, in addition to being an ultra marathoner,
okay,
he set a like pull up world record. And I thought, well, goodness, this man has done it all and he still set a world record. This is phenomenal. I want to do something like that. So I decided that I would reach out to Guinness and look into how I can do that.
Cool. All right. And then you did the jump rope thing and that was it.
Yeah, it was it. It was really freaking cool how it all worked out.
Did you beat somebody else or is this a brand new record?
It's a brand new record. They are very strict in the sense of they said I had to beat 90. There's other jump rope records.
Okay.
So I specifically chose this one. Like, for instance, there's like most like jump ropes, jumping with a dog, jumping on a pogo stick, jumping in ski boots, jumping in, you know, all kinds, you know, double dutching, you know, all these kinds of jumping rope, just world records. And I thought, well, this one would be cool. And so they said 90. I did it. And that was it.
I love it. I just love that little stuff in the background. So going right, and it's a good segue into this. So I like to always find out with the people I interview, what was the serendipity? What was the coincidence or accident that led you to where you are today? I mean, you said you get a little bit of story about being an entrepreneur at a young age and could tell the audience that story with the, I'm not going to say what it is. You can tell them. But what was that thing that got you into where you're at now? It's a very unusual field that you're in. What kind of turned you in that direction going, this is the place I need to be?
I'm the type of person who, and maybe those who are listening, you're like this, where sometimes an opportunity just comes up and you have to decide what are you going to do with it? And so I was a graduate research assistant at Patrick Air Force Base. I didn't work for the government. I wasn't in the military. I was just working, like looking to make money to pay my bills before I went off and got my big girl job. And I was walking down the hall and the director of research, he like approached me and he's like, oh, I heard you're graduating soon. And, you know, I would like to keep you on as the graduate research fellow. And I mean, to keep you on as a contractor, as a subcontractor. And I was like, oh my God, okay. Like, I didn't even know what that meant or anything of that nature. So I was like, okay, let's do this. And he's like, how much is it going to cost me? So I'm thinking in my head, like, oh, I'm this master negotiator. And I really wasn't. I sucked. And I just like threw out a number and didn't even negotiate. And he was like, okay, that's great. That's, you know. So I was like, okay. And so before you know it, I became a subcontractor.
Wow.
And so I decided at that point in time to take that opportunity and just to like really run with it. I was like, oh, okay, well, let me make the most out of this. And so I started to learn. I didn't know anything about business per se. I was like, I'd done some sole proprietor things like gig work, you know, 1099, as many call it. But I didn't really know much about just, you know, business, this world of business. And I definitely didn't know anything about government contracting. So I spent a lot of time learning and making mistakes and learning and making more mistakes.
That's the best way to learn sometimes, right? Or most of the time.
It really is. It really, really is.
Okay. So it was kind of an accident that you found. And I love the idea. It's like, I mean, you can't tell somebody that's like, well, how much do you charge? You're thinking, how about this? Oh, that's perfect. You know, have you ever heard of a motivational speaker? His name is Les Brown.
Yeah.
And he has a story like that where somebody, he was trying to get this contract. He was trying to be a speaker at some place. And the gentleman he's sitting next to on a plane goes, well, how much do you charge? He's thinking, I have no idea. He goes, I don't know. How much do you have? He said, I have this. He goes, that's good enough. It's like, it didn't matter at that point. It was kind of like an opportunity that was just, he'd been wanting to create in his mind and it just happened. So I love that. So explain how adding value, because you're talking about getting government contracts, adding value and problems you solve as in getting these contracts, because people believe, and it's not just getting contracts from government. It's you should apply this to any job that you're in, but specifically what you're doing, how, you know, because you do talk about on your website about adding value. So kind of go into that and touch that a little bit and let us know what that would look like.
Yeah. I mean, excuse me. So when I first started out, my value add was diversity and inclusion. That just happened to be where I was. That was what I leaned into. That was it.
Okay.
And so because they had a need. They had this massive need for diversity and inclusion. So as a result, I was like, okay, cool. And so what's important is to flip the mindset. So often a business owner will think, okay, I have this thing, like I have this risk guard, or I have computer products, or I have this process, and I know the government wants to buy it because I heard they buy all this stuff. And it's like, instead of thinking in those terms, it's more around what is the government looking to buy and how are they buying? Because they may not need risk guards, but they may need keyboards or they may need something else. And so that's one area where I find some entrepreneurs really have a hard time making the switch, because we want to sell what we're passionate about, right? It's like, I'm really passionate about leadership training and I'm certified in all of these areas and this is what I want to do. And it's great, but is that really what the agency wants to buy? I don't know. I mean, maybe they need happiness training or positivity training. That's some training one of my companies is providing right now. I have a client who does a lot of diversity and inclusion and strategy work and assessment work. So it's about deciding that, but it's no different than Amazon. Amazon figured out, hey, if we offer one button subscriptions and delivery in a trunk and delivery in your house and taking pictures of your package, like they realize if we do these things, it's going to lead to more sales.
Mm-hmm.
If we ignore, oh man, packages are being stolen, or you want hair products, don't buy from us. Who cares? Like, if they took that approach, then Amazon wouldn't
be
who
gone.
They are.
Yeah.
They'd be gone. So the same thing applies to us. So that's what's really important, is adding the value and then also adding value as far as getting to know them. So what's really cool about the government, most of the agencies publicize their vision, their mission, their strategic plan. And pretty much all of them, unless they're classified, like they have a top secret level to them, or they're a secret organization that they're not going to have a website, you can find out about them. You can learn. You can see, is there a political appointee over them? Like, what is their mission? What is their strategic plan? If you notice that their strategic plan is to digitize content, okay, that might be an opportunity for you. If you see part of their, like right now, there's an executive order around diversity and inclusion. This is a great time. If somebody's in anything that has to do with diversity and inclusion, perfect time to start selling into the government. If that changes with the administration, because with the previous administration, diversity and inclusion training was banned, well, then clearly that's not something you're going to sell.
Right.
But that happens all the time in business. And so it's about being aware. It's about accepting how they buy, what they're looking to buy. And to really grow, it's about being a thought leader so you can help them forecast what they're going to need. If you notice that a bunch of their employees are about to retire, maybe you suggest, hey, maybe we turn this into a staffing contract. You know, you have five team people who are retiring soon. Maybe you convert those into contract positions while you hire for those.
Okay.
You know, there's ways to be helpful opposed to just being transactional. You want this? Here you go. Here you go. I mean,
Right. It's
not it at all.
Well, I think it's just talking directly to the conscious community, the audience that I have. You know, if you're listening to what she's saying, is change and problem solving and being, it can be uncomfortable at times, because you're right. It's not just governments change, businesses change. They're going, I was going in this direction, I'm going to go to the left. And then instead of just going with them and then finding out you're miserable, you got to find out where my passion is. But you're right. Your passion is great, but where does it sell? Does the government want it? Does a business want it? Well, you got to figure out where you, so you help people try to figure that out and then go, okay, do this, this, and this. You're not doing the work. They got to do the work. You might show them, here's the door, but you got to open the, they've got to open the door and get the work done, correct?
They do. And what's great is that this applies to anyone, whether you don't even have a business to maybe you won a government contract or so.
Okay.
That's what's really important about this space and what's so cool about this space. So like, for instance, there's a gentleman who coaches with me. He bartended, he's been an extra in movies, he's done all kinds of other things for movies. And he heard about government contracting and took some training, and within 3 months won $500,000 in government contracts.
Wow.
And then there's another individual where he had a relationship with his former employer who happens to be a government contractor, and went from him to $40 million in government contracts in a short amount of time. It's pretty much the only space where you can go from you to a lot of you that's billable. So we're not talking about, oh, I received round 1, 2, 3 ABC funding for my startup.
Right.
We're not talking about that. We're
this
talking about billable work. This is big. This is billable work where you go from yourself to a whole team overnight because you won something. And that's what's so powerful about this space. And it's not always based on past performance or experience. Many people think like, oh, well, but see, I don't have any experience with the government. Well, what was my experience? I'd been there four
Zero.
Months. I've been there 4 months.
Right.
I was Kizzy Part.
Right.
I mean, by the time I became a subcontractor, I was Dr. Park. But what happened? I got to walk across the stage. I mean, like,
right.
You know, like, really, I was still the same person.
Right.
But the value. And that's so important. So that mindset is key. Knowing, hey, I have something to offer. That's all it takes. Like one other example, there's a gentleman who communicates with me through Twitter DMs, and he's been selling like condensed milk and other products to the bureaus of prison. And on one of his contracts, he made $8,000. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is, especially going from here straight. You're not like you said, you know, when you do grants and some of this other stuff, you've got to fight all the way. It could take months and then da, da, da. The infrastructure is already there. You just got to figure out, is there a service that you can give them right now? Because it's not, you know, 3 months from now, they're looking for it right now, which is quite a bit different than a lot of different businesses. I wanted to go and talk a little bit about the difference between making money and a business and a hobby. Now, I understand, but maybe my audience does not. Could you kind of go over that a little bit?
Of course. So what often happens is people are typically in one of two kind of categories. They're in this, oh, I'm over my job or whatever. I'm going to start a business, or I've always known I'm going to have a business. I got a business, right? It's like, I got a business, I'm a business owner, and you're telling the world. And in reality, you either have a hobby or you created a job for yourself. So it's dabbling.
Okay.
Oh, I sold 10, you know, computer mice. Okay, well, how are you paying all your bills? Amazon started out selling books, but it was Jeff Bezos' goal to sell everything. I believe
right.
He said that out the gate. He was like, I want to be the internet of everything. I want to sell everything.
Right.
And so he didn't say, oh, well, we've been selling books for 20 years. I guess maybe we'll sell bookmarks. I mean, like they sell everything, and then they've been acquiring all these businesses.
Right.
You have government contracts, $1 billion government contracts Amazon has. So this is not a space that's just limited to like Booz Allen. There's billions of dollars, $600 billion every year spent on government contracts.
Wow.
So the mentality is for some, it's like, oh, I just want to dabble. And that can be okay as long as you own it. If you go in saying, hey, you know what? I just want to make a little bit of money. I just want some side money. I don't want to do Uber Eats. So I'm just going to do government contracting. That's cool. We have someone where her specialty is resume writing, government resume writing and job interviewing. That's all she does for us. She's been doing it since, I think, 2013 or 2014.
Oh, wow.
Like that's all she does. But that's her niche.
Right.
That's what she does. So that's her lane. Then there's those who are entrepreneurial. And my favorite example is David, who I interview on my channel.
Okay.
And those who purchase any of my coaching, they get the full interview with him. David is a true entrepreneur. He takes more of the Amazon approach. Like, I'm going to sell anything to meet my margins. So David likes 20 and up percent profit. So for David, his background is mentoring. He started his business in 08. He was big into mentoring, providing mentors to different cities, states. All of a sudden, he got notified that some government agency might need what he does. And he's like, what? What is this? Oh, and he started his business. He was probably in his 20s. Again, it doesn't matter how old you are. My
right.
mentor, she was in her early 70s. And she started her business probably her early, mid-60s. So this is a space. And you can be 16, you could be 79. It doesn't matter. What matters is you're providing value. And so he decided that he was going to go after contracts that were under $1 million and different things that where he knew he could find people to fulfill it and he could succeed. So he's done a lot of translation, court reporting, temporary housing. He has a contract with four fish that were illegally caught, I think in the state of Georgia. He has a contract for, if you ever go to, let's say, a park, especially one that's federally funded, or you go to like a government building, and sometimes you'll see like some kind of display in there, like art, or hey, let's explain the terrain. And government contractors get paid to create the thing.
I didn't even know that.
So he has contracts like that. So somebody created it. It's not Johnny in the art department. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what's so fascinating. So for him, it's all about, where can I make the margins? Where's an opportunity where I can win and really leverage it? So he bids 20, 25 times a month. He has a system. He has two other people who help him. And he brings in $3 million a year.
Wow.
Just on the government side.
Wow. So if you have a passion and if you want something that you can do, call Kizzy. Get on her website. She's got I think it's like a 30-minute video you go over. She speaks in normal speak. So it's not out of the realm. It's not like lawyerese or something like that, right? And the video she has, it's on her homepage. She talks about it. It's very positive, and I like the aspects of taking something that you think, oh, maybe it's a hobby, but I really would like to take this seriously. And I'm like, the infrastructure is all done. It's all ready to go. And I would contact her so she can help you along the way. The one last thing I'd like to ask is, what was one positive message that you would like to pass on to our conscious community audience? Something just positive, whatever it could be.
Yeah, yeah. This is something I say pretty much at the end of all my YouTube videos. I firmly believe this. I live this. And that is, everything is possible. Hands down. Hands down. There are those moments where I know I've been there, where I'm like, man, am I going to get through this? How am I going to get past this? Is this really, you know, is this the end of me? Like, what is happening? And then I have to take a step back and connect with my higher fate, my higher power, connect with, you know, all of those out there. Because at the end of the day, we're all people. And think about all the amazing things you have done and overcome. We all have had those moments. And so when we're down, when we're in that pit, it's going back to those moments where it's like, man, I remember when I finished that marathon, or I remember I got through that divorce, or I got through that family problem, or I got through that toxic boss. And then you're able to say, I was able to do that. I'm going to be able to get through this, because everything is possible. Look around at what's been accomplished in the world. Or even if you go back to businesses, like sometimes it's just become so normal, like, oh, Amazon, IBM. Well, if you go back, most of these companies were just, they were started by people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing to see, like, oh, wow, two people started this huge billion-dollar company. Oh, my gosh, this is awesome.
Well,
you look around at ruins, or even like here in Hawaii, like, oh, my gosh, this was a volcano. Look at what's here now.
Yeah.
I mean, who imagined that this is a volcano? Like, that's
why would somebody want to go there? Right.
Right. And live here. And it's like, everything is possible. It truly is. What we put out there, what we believe, we receive. So if you think and believe, then that's what you're going to get. But when you think and believe everything is possible, the world's going to open up and you will experience abundance.
Well, you can't have joy and abundance 24/7. I told my audience and people know who listen to the show, I pray and meditate 3 times a day. I do it in the morning. I don't get out of bed until I say, thank my maker. And you can call it anything you want. It doesn't really matter. There's a million names for it. And it's just about going, thank you for the food that I have, the rugs that I have, the floor that I have, the toothpaste, and getting in touch with that source, whatever that source is for you, to bring you back. Because when you're at the bottom of, or you get stressed out, you're like, okay, turn everything off. I'll go back to the original place where you came from. Nothing. So just pray, meditate, whatever you want to do to get that whole thing. Kizzy, I really appreciate it. This is why I wanted to talk to you. I want people to live their joy and abundance in everything they're due. And I would definitely suggest, check out her website, listen to her videos, and, you know, work with her. If you're looking for something, you got a dream, check it out. You've got nothing to lose but being happy and abundance and joy every day. So thank you very much. I appreciate it being on the show.
I appreciate that. You too. And I just want to put out there to all of your amazing listeners, please connect with me. Send me a text message at 305 305- 305-853-9481, 305-853-9481. Let me know that you listened, and I'll send you a really cool free download. It's awesome, and I have a great Facebook community, YouTube channel, and I'll send all that information to you, because this is a great world for anyone, no matter what you sell, no matter where you are as an entrepreneur. You might as well look into it. It's over $600 billion, and the government always pays.
Thank you, Kizzy. I really appreciate it. And to my conscious community, remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.